Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Joe Cowley writes another article calling out the Bulls front office. This now makes like the 5th outlet this summer that has done that. We're also talking about Dalen Terry working with Steve Nash and article from Pippen Ain't Easy on one thing each Bulls young player could work on. I'll talk about if I agree or disagree with that list. Plus, we got one voicemail we're going to get into. All that plus more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Der Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. I want to start off talking about Joe Cowley's article. Joe Cowley wrote an article on the Bulls front office saying what everybody kind of has felt and talked about the Chicago Bulls. I mean, it wasn't all negative. It wasn't like it was this glaring article where it's just completely ramming the Bulls front office. No, they did talk about, and yeah, I think Joe Cowley started off that article saying that the Bulls have solid pieces, but they're lacking the number one guy. And the hope that that number one guys are going to already be on the roster, there's some doubt there. And I think most Bulls fans do that. Now, I mean, you do have your Bulls fans that think, oh my God, especially the Josh Giddey stands. Oh my God, Josh Giddey's clearly the number one. He's going to do, like, people was like some people say things like, oh my God, he's been doing this. Like, no, he is not. That's part of the reason why there's so much doubt. And that's not on Josh Giddey, right? Again, Josh Giddey stands and Josh Giddey fans are two very different people. The stands that think that Josh Giddey is some already perfect, and they like to quote, well, he was in a category with only Jokic and LeBron. Yeah, but what do those two players have that Josh Giddey has not done? They have had both team success and individual success in this league that is undoubtable and unquestionable. And some of that is not Josh Giddey's fault. I talk a lot about how his role in OKC, he was not playing a role that was best suited to the way that he likes to play basketball. That role is here for him in Chicago as an actual point guard. And hopefully he does show that, and he does bring that level of consistency. And when he does, it's going to eliminate a lot of the questions. But to act like those questions aren't there now, yeah, you're crazy. So the Bulls do not have a number one on this roster yet. They have a guy that can absolutely facilitate the offense and be the heart engine of that offense in Josh Giddey. They have a number one potential scorer in Coby White that can be number one for this team. But a true number one that I look at it as is that a player that just by their presence alone makes you at least a playoff team, not a play-in team, a playoff team, right? When you go and look at some of the other and true superstars in this league, regardless of what's around Anthony Edwards, they're going to the playoffs at least. Regardless of what's around SGA, they are going to go to the playoffs at least, right? That's what I look at as a number one, and the Bulls don't have that, and that's what Joe Cowley highlighted in this article. Of course, you know, people hope that Modest is going to be able to turn into that. He has a lot that he needs to show before he does. But there is, I do like the fact that it does point out that this is not a roster devoid of talent. And that's what kind of sometimes in the past has come from Joe himself. That's what comes from like Nick Friedell. That's what comes from the national media, is acting as if this roster is completely devoid of talent. It comes from some of y'all, right? And so I love the fact that, you know, you can call out the front office on what we're lacking and what we need without acting like, oh, there is absolutely nothing on this. Like, and because that's just not true objectively. We have talented players on this team. Now, the question, of course, is how far can this core of talent go? Or do you really have a player that's going to develop into a true number one? I just defined what that is. And until that happens, there's always going to be the question. We could talk about the potential of somebody doing it all day long until somebody actually does it and puts this team on the back on their back. And we look at it like, there's no way we cannot at least be a playoff team because of this guy, right? It's very rare that rosters have high levels of success without having that guy, right? Now, it has happened before. You think about the Detroit Pistons over 20 years ago at this point, right? I would say a little bit of that is to Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers. Like, they did it more so off their core, but Tyrese Halliburton was the engine of that offense. But I still think it was more the sum of the parts than it was just necessarily Tyrese Halliburton, right? So you have your teams that it is the sum of the parts. And I'm not going to act like it's not that. And what AK saying is thing of, you know, 8 or 10 really good players, right? Like, that's what maybe he's hoping that the Bulls can be the next version of that team. But you typically need that guy. And sometimes that guy develops. When the New York Knicks got Jalen Brunson, people didn't think Jalen Brunson could be that important to what that New York Knicks team is. But still, look at what he has around him. He still has a team around him that's pretty damn good for them to win over 50 games. So you typically still need somebody to develop or turn into that guy. If AK and Eversley truly believe that that guy's already on this roster, okay, cool. Then make sure you prioritize the development of him, because you're only going to get by with the ifs if he can be that guy for so long. And that's what, you know, you have to look at here. And that's why player development is so important. And that's why the coaching is so important. Like, that's why filling out the best version of the roster and having that player be able to grow their game and play the role that's suited to them. That's why that is important. And, you know, until you have that, there are going to be a lot of outlets, a lot of Bulls fans that doubt exactly how far this team can go. The Bulls have right now, they've built in the middle, right? They've built in the middle. And even in rechanging the direction of this roster with new young players, as of right now, we are still in the middle, right? As of right now, I'm somebody who does think that this team, I hold out some optimism that this team could be better next year. But, you know, sophomore slumps are a thing. Nobody's saying that even if Monta's trajectory to get there, it may not happen in year two. And that's a lot to put on a year two player, right? Kobe White could realistically be an all-star consideration this year. Okay, cool. But where is the success then of the team getting with that? And until you have your segment of the Bulls fandom that aren't wrong for feeling this way, until this team actually does something, right, win a playoff series, I think that there is going to be a lot of doubt and trepidation and concern around exactly what are we building. Because, you know, like, we got good players. Again, we have players that I like on this team. I like Josh Giddey. I like Kobe White. I love Modest Bouzelas. I'm intrigued by what Noah's Essengay's upside is. Absolutely, right? I still love Ayo Dosunmu. But the affinity that you have for players, and this is sometimes where front offices fall into the trap too, you can't let your affinity for a player make you realize or make you blind to exactly where you are with that core of players on this team, and you have to steadily improve. And that's why when AK was so quiet through so many transactional periods of not making moves, that's why it stood out. That's why it was something that people talked about. That's why it's something that disappointed Bulls fans, is because sitting on our hands. You have to make refinement. It doesn't have to be big moves every year. You got some fans that think if you're not making a big move every trade deadline or every offseason, somehow it's trash. No, I'm not saying that either. But you got to be building towards something. And right now, the Bulls have built towards the middle. Now, how far can we go above that middle? That's the question that's going to remain to be seen based off development. Where we are right now is going to be based off development. One of the things that Cowley ends this article in is basically saying that you almost have to get to the place of getting a top five pick or hope that you're getting extremely lucky. And the bet on luck has not necessarily worked for this team. Now, we know that this team is not going to be a tanking team. You know, for people that still hold out hope, the people that still have these long drawn out thoughts on how the Bulls are completing some kind of covert tank. Listen, I love the place that you're in of optimism. I guess you could say that that's optimism. Maybe you can say that that's blindness. I don't know. However your view on it is, but this is not going to be a team that is tanked. AK has shown it. The actions have matched that up. He said it. And so at this point now, you know, that bottoming out for a top five pick does not look likely for the Chicago Bulls. So either they're going to get lucky in the draft, or he's going to find a way to execute this plan of 8 to 10 really good players that somehow have the right mix with the right coaching and the right development and the right game plan to go into a place of being able to win a playoff series. What's your hope on that? What's your palette for that? That really depends on how you view this team overall. And I guess we'll see where that ends up shaking out. But you guys can let me know how you feel on that down below. Next up, before we get up out of here, right, we got two more. Dalen Terry. Dalen Terry, according to Kevin O'Connor with The Ringer, that's the right name, was seen working with Steve Nash. Now, keep in mind, Dalen Terry also was still working with the prior head of player development in Peter Patton earlier this offseason. Now seen working on his ball handling and maybe even the facilitating with Steve Nash. That's pretty big, right? Dalen Terry came into the league kind of seen as a big point guard with the with that he could play a small shooting guard too, and maybe some potential to be a point forward, a small forward, right? A facilitating small forward, I guess the better way to word that. And so while we haven't necessarily seen that, I think in the half court, Dalen Terry's passing has been gambly, which has led him to not necessarily be the best half court facilitator, but in transition, he's been really good, which is good for Dalen. And so now that we've seen Dalen working on the shooting with Peter Patton, of course, and we know what Peter Patton does shooting wise, we've seen him working with his facilitating and playmaking with Steve Nash. This signifies that Dalen Terry understands how important this upcoming season is for him. You know, this is the last year on his rookie scale deal. The Bulls are going to have to make a decision in restricted free agency, whether to bring him back on a decent number, allow him to go out and sign an offer sheet, or allow him to go to another team. And so Dalen, who has been not very much used over his NBA career, but then again, as part of that is on him. It's not like he's played this role where it's earned him a lot of minutes, but Dalen has been a little bit rough. And so it seems like Dalen is really taking this now offseason serious, and not to say he hasn't taken other series. Like, I mean, we've seen Dalen over the years. I think even his rookie year, he's like working out with not only DeMar, but I think he was working out with like Anthony Edwards and some other players too. So like Dalen has done some things before, you know, and put himself around some players that's really good to kind of absorb, work with, see their tactics. But for a player that, you know, has averaged 11 minutes a game for his career, has never averaged over 14 minutes, even last year, his most at 13.5, Dalen Terry is going to have an interesting opportunity here. And I've said it before, the battle for the rotation is going to be hard. Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, Patrick Williams, and Noah Essengay are all fighting over that 10 spot in the rotation, basically. And that itself is already a very inconsistent part of the rotation. That 10th guy for Billy Donovan can play 20 minutes, you know, a couple of games in a row, not be seen for two or three games. So they're already fighting over a very inconsistent part of the rotation. And you got multiple players fighting over that. Now, one could say that competition is going to breed hopefully the best training camp for all three of these guys. And if it does, great, right? That's what you would want to see from those guys. But, you know, Dalen's going to have to come into this camp refined. Him, Julian, Pat, they're going to have to show a lot in this training camp if they want to get into the rotation for the Bulls this year. And I think that's the best spot to be on. Let the guys who bring it, and the guys who bring it consistently and play hard and show you that they want it, let those be the guys that get the minutes. Let that dictate who you're going to play, who you're not going to play. I don't think many Bulls fans are going to be upset if that ends up being the case. I think that they would actually take that as the Bulls are finally making these guys earn their
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC supply in-app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Spots. From Dalen Terry's rookie year playing 38 games, averaging only 5.6 minutes, to 59 his second season, to 72-73 last season for Dalen. You know, that's all good. It's fine and dandy. But Dalen has his things that he needs to work on. And Dalen is far from a polished product, And he has a lot to work to put in, which leads us to our next topic, in which Pippen Ain't Easy had an interesting article. This was written by Austin McGee on one thing every young Bull player must improve on in the 2025-26 season. So we're going to go ahead and get into that. So on this list of listed for one thing that every Bulls player should work on, the first one that they do talk about, of course, is Matas Buzelis. And in that, he talks about Matas Buzelis' area of growth should be playmaking, saying this. We'll start with Buzelis, not because he's the most tantalizing player on the list, though he is, but simply because we're going alphabetically. The 6'10 forward came to the NBA pegged as a jumbo playmaker. Pre-draft Bleacher Report compared Buzelis to the likes of Lamar Odom, Hugo Turkoglu, and Franz Wagner. Now, playmaking is one thing that I'm not too worried about Matas Buzelis growing in year two, mainly because Josh Giddey's going to be on this roster. So I personally would have here more shooting for Matas Buzelis in year two because he does have a point guard that's going to be able to create for him and get him some shots easily. So I would like to see Matas Buzelis grow as a catch and shoot player and a shooter overall. Those percentages improve for him. But I can't be mad at him working on playmaking either if that ends up being the case, because Matas Buzelis does shape up. And I talked about that myself in my pre-draft process for Matas, is that he does have that upside of the modern point forward that you like to go to. And so I can't be mad at that. It's just in year two, I more so would have him work on shooting rather than playmaking. I think those playmaking things are there. I think we got to see a couple of games toward the end of the season, him do some more point forward things, and he's pretty solid in it. But again, can't be mad. Whatever it takes to unlock Matas Buzelis. Next up, Noah Essanay, and he says physicality. Now, I think that's an easy one for Noah, especially him not playing a single NBA minute yet. We do know that he is very slight of frame, even though he is long and lanky. And so dealing with that NBA physicality is going to be one of the important parts of his rookie year, especially with him being a more defensive-minded player with still offensive upside. But dealing with that physicality, that NBA physicality, you even saw it in summer league. One of the things he struggled with was when he was playing up against more physical teams. I don't think Noah Essanay is soft in any shape, form, or fashion, but I do think that physicality is something. And of course, his ball handling, his defense in isolation, those are going to be really things that are going to be for him to prove in this rookie year how good he can do that. But that physicality, I think that is one thing that you're going to really want to see how he deals with that NBA physicality in the NBA. Next up, Josh Giddey, they have area of growth for him, perimeter defense. Can never be mad at that. We talked yesterday's episode about how Josh Giddey's working on his three-point shooting. And in that, I said a lot of people are going to ask, well, why isn't it more defensive-oriented? I don't think Josh Giddey's ever going to become some lockdown defender. I don't know if he ever even becomes technically a plus defender. But I think you can have Josh Giddey become a solid team defender, and it just takes his commitment to that area of his game. And hopefully we see that from him as well. If he can get to that while also growing that shooting, that helps Josh Giddey tremendously in some of the biggest areas that he lacks at as a player right now, and helps him be a better player off ball, a player that, it just can provide you more things. So we'll see what happens with that. Amongst 176 guards and wings to play at least 1,000 minutes, Josh Giddey was 96th in Crafted NBA's catch-all defensive metrics. So take that for what you will. It's not great. So, he definitely needs to work on that. They list Isaac Okoro here. I keep forgetting Isaac Okoro, I guess, technically is still a very young player in the league, even though he's been around for a while. They said off the bounce scoring for him. And I think that that's fair, right? I can't wait to see what Okoro looks like in this offense, because we are going to play more up-tempo offense. And I do think he's going to have more opportunities here. But I can't, I can't doubt that. They even go on to say he ranked 39th amongst 176 guards as far as, shooting there. And that's not a good thing. So we'll see there. That was defense. He ranked 39th and 176 guards as far as defense. And then when you look at the offensive metric, he was 117th out of 177 guards and wings. So, defense is not a problem for Isaac Okoro. And I think him bringing that for this team is legitimate, and we know how he's going to help there. But seeing what else he can bring offensively is going to really determine how much he helps this team take a step up. Next up, Julian Phillips. They said on ball anything. I mean, listen, you're not wrong. I think for me to bring it to a thing that you can say there, I think I would like to see Julian Phillips be a cutter more. I think that's something that's going to really help with him, is cutting to the rim more. And he does that a lot more naturally than like a P. Will does, right? There's no doubt that Julian Phillips has upside as a shooter. He just needs to get there. And he can dunk. He can finish around the rim. You know, we have guards that are going to be able to get him the ball in transition. I would like to see him take a step up defensively as well, learning something from Isaac Okoro. I think he can do as well. But, pull-up jumpers can be a thing for him. Coming off the dribble can be a thing for him. He doesn't really do those things. So if he can grow in those areas at all, it can really help him. Dalen Terry is also on the list. And the area of growth they have for Dalen Terry is volume spot-up shooting. And, with what we talked about earlier with Dalen, with working with Steve Nash, working with Peter Patton, shooting's definitely something that he's that he can grow on. Dalen Terry is a guy that's depending on the game, you can see him do, he had the game where he made, five or six threes in. There's times where defensively, especially where he knows, there's times that we see him take players off the dribble when he knows he has the size advantage. It's just nothing was consistent. And so while volume spot-up shooting can definitely be a thing for him, and shout-out to them, I'd say I'd look at that more for Dalen Terry to just get some type of skill that he can rely on and go to consistently, get some type of consistency in something. That's what you need, especially in a contract year for you. You got to find some type of consistency. Let's see if Dalen Terry can do that. And then lastly, Patrick Williams, they list confidence here. I mean, yeah, I'd say that. I'd say heart. I'd say, get with a sports therapist. I don't know what to say when it comes to Patrick Williams, because at this point, I look at Patrick Williams as who Patrick Williams is. That's my point. That's where I stand at it. If he's able to do more than that, great, but I'm not expecting it anymore from P. Will. So let me know what you guys think. What's an area of growth you would like to see every young player do for the Chicago Bulls? Io and Kobe were left off this list, and I think that's more about refinement for them, but let me know what you guys think on all that down below. Last topic of the day. Got to get into the voicemails. We got a voicemail from Reggie. Not the usual Reggie. Different Reggie. Let's go ahead and play that now.
Hey, Hayes. This is Reggie, man. Calling from Chicago. Park area. I don't call in too much, but I do listen all the time. I love your show. Love the content. I'm just calling, man, because of what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a lot of, man, hoping and wishing for this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, man. And it's coming a little bit from you too, Hayes. I think it's time to stop doing all this hoping and wishing, and let's start making some real personnel decisions, especially on the defensive side of the ball, man. I feel like I'm not going to talk about Vooch because, we all know that Vooch is not going to be here. He's not in the future. I'm talking about two people, Hayes. I'm talking about Kobe White. I'm talking about Josh Giddey. Now, don't get me wrong. I like both of these guys offensively. I like Kobe offensively. I like Josh Giddey offensively. I just think them as a starting backcourt, we're never going to get what we want to be, because defensively, we always going to be at a disadvantage with these guys. So my thing is, give me one of these guys. Give me one of them to play the point guard position. Kobe's 6'5", Giddey's 6'8". I think, we can win with one of these guys. The other one, I think, hey, you got to let him go. You got to get rid of one of these guys, man. Because I think that, old school mentality, if you can't guard your man, you're putting your team at a disadvantage. That's just old school hoops, hey? That's old school basketball. So I think you have got to let one of these guys go and keep one of them to play the point guard position. Give me a two-guard man that's long, that's athletic, that can defend, that can get in the passing lane. I don't even need 30 a game. Give me 18 a game, but you pass the stat sheet. Give me everything in the box. Give me everything in the box from a two-guard. So that's what I'm calling in to say, hey, I just feel like it's time to stop doing all this hoping and wishing and, oh, maybe if we put in a Koru or maybe if we start Io at the three. Yeah, okay, I agree. That's a start, hey. It starts there, but it can't end right there, man. It cannot end right there. We have got to make some real personnel decisions about this team going forward, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, that's all I want to say, man. So I'm going to hang up. I'm going to listen for your answer.
Here's the thing. I don't think fans can control personnel moves. And while it's easy to say, let's replace this guy and go out and get, the guy has to be available. And we've seen teams before with not strong defensive backcourts. Look at the Cavs, for example, right? But they have really good defensive bigs up front. And I think that's why you see a lot of people more so focus on, you know, especially if Noah Essanay turns into the defender that it looks like he can be at the four, and then you can get that rim protecting five, you can be there. You can grow defensively. So I don't think it's just like wishing, like as far as, you know, the fans, because we don't have control over that. The front office, they went out and got Isaac Okoro instead of Lonzo Ball, who's going to be more consistent. It's just not as easy when you have a guy that's to a certain level. It's not easy to say, let's just go and replace that guy with a long defender, because you may not get that. It's easier to replace a position of need with something that helps those guys when you have that. Now, I've said it before many times. If the Bulls do lose Kobe and replace Kobe with a more natural off-ball, you know, catch-and-shoot two that can also defend, you know, that can help the Bulls tremendously. Now, I want to see Kobe White stay here. But, again, it's not just about, oh, you got to let one of those guys go to improve defensively, because then you could take a huge shot in the arm offensively that could hurt you. I think if you get, and we've seen this happen in the NBA before, if you can get a legitimate rim-protecting big, your perimeter defense being a little bit weak, you're able to keep teams from penetrating on you too much. So Noah's ability as a shot blocker, modest as well, but Noah's ability as a multifaceted defender is hugely important in that. If you can go out and then find that defensive rim-protecting big as well, that takes you another step. So I think that's where it's also a path for the Bulls. I'm not saying you're wrong in that at all. I'm just saying it's a little bit harder. And I guess it comes to which one can you find easier? Do you find that defensive big first, or do you find a two-way wing first that is a 3-and-D wing? That's the question there. So we'll see what the Bulls end up doing there. But, you know, we got to take a big step defensively, and we'll see what happens. But all right, that's my time for today. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that is thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.